and good evening. I'm Melissa Idris.
And I'm Sharad Kutin.
Welcome to Consider This, the show where we want you to consider and then reconsider what you know of the news of the day. Now, some major headlines today are to do with politics. Firstly, we have Dato' Sri Anwar Ibrahim. He was at Bukit Aman today for questioning following his meeting with the Yang di-Pertuan Agong on Tuesday. Now, it's understood that the PDRM has opened 6 police cases against Anwar since he announced that he had majority support in the Dewan Rakyat. At a press conference later, Anwar said that the police had asked him to reveal the names of the MPs who support him. He declined to, saying that it was between him and the Agong. Also, prominent in the news, we have details of UMNO's demands for its continued support to Perikatan Nasional. That came out in the open after some initial coyness. Now, UMNO wants a deputy prime minister and some key ministries. So currently, UMNO shares with Bersatu 2 of the 4 senior minister positions. Now, with all these political manoeuvrings that we've seen happening, are we, the people, just spectators? I mean, I'm really wondering, Sharad, do we have any agency in what's happening at all?
Melissa, you know, the big question there at the end of your very good setup about what's happening in the country, at least what's happened today in the country. I do think there are people, of course, who maybe are slightly bewildered, maybe resigned to the fact that a lot of elite bargaining is going on, for which they have no direct input on, and also...
But might have direct repercussions, right?
Absolutely. It has completely... I mean, the import of what's happening now has tremendous implications for all of us, especially in terms of what government can do in the current situation of the pandemic as well as the recession. We know that the COVID law has not been passed. Right. And that is a consequence, Melissa, clearly, of what's happened, or the paralysis in Parliament. There's not been the ability to bring everybody together to support an emergency provision. And I wonder whether, you know, in some sense, the political question has to be answered first before we get to questions of public health and a recession.
Yeah, and that's true. I do think it's quite interesting because, you know, in the next couple of days, we're going to see the situation evolve. And I think a lot of people are feeling slightly fatigued, but also, as you said, disconnected. I mean, how do you pay it? You know, we may be interested spectators, but we are essentially spectators. This is all, as I mentioned by many political analysts, you know, all... political maneuverings at the elite level. This is bargaining power that we have no control over.
Yeah, but truly there are also people who are cheering in the sidelines, who are for this or that individual, whether it's, you know, Anwar Ibrahim, the current Prime Minister, Muhyiddin Yassin, you know, the factions in UMNO who, you know, who have, you know, who remain loyal to Najib Razak, to the Zaid Hamidis of UMNO, and also perhaps now a new section of the stands, you know, in support of Tunku Razali. I mean, so you have a whole range of people who are loyal supporters of those actors. But again, there are people who are saying, Melissa, that we should go back to the electorate, to the populace, to get a better sense of where they want the leadership of the country to go and with whom.
All right. Well, you know, that we're going to keep a close eye on the political developments. But in other news, only 15 media organisations will be allowed to cover parliamentary proceedings on site when Dewan Rakyat convenes from November 2nd to December 23rd. Now, the stated reason for this, according to Parliament administrators, is to curb the spread of COVID-19. So if you look at the list of 15 media organisations, there is not a single media organisation on that list that operates exclusively online. Now, and just to note that media coverage allowance for this parliamentary sitting is far more strict compared to the last. I believe the last time there was a cap on the number of the maximum number of journalists from each organisation, but there was no limit on the number of organisations itself. And this is interesting because this sitting is particularly important. We have Budget 2021 tabled on November 6th and a vote will be called on November 23rd. Now, it's also raised a lot of questions, Sharad, I think, you know, and in reference to our earlier discussion, it's raised the question of balancing COVID-19 SOPs and democratic freedoms. Where do we find that balance? It's a new normal we have to live with, right?
Well, I don't know if we have to live with this. I mean, clearly these are human-made decisions and with vested interests. And if you look at the lack of consistency around how media covers anything, including, you know, the way the media gathered together in order to cover, you know, Anwar Ibrahim's, you know,
press conference,
audience,
yes.
No, audience the Agong, or any of the other situations that we've had where, you know, press conferences have been called by politicians. I'm not quite sure why in this instance Parliament didn't bend over backwards to ensure that as many of the media was there as possible.
Right.
As you put, rightly put, there seems to be a real deficit when it comes to online media. Many of the online media portals, much more substantial in their coverage, much more legitimate in the eyes of the Malaysian public, you know, had greater credibility than many of the traditional newspapers that are on the list, or even some of the other broadcast media.
Right. Well, so some of the questions that have been posed is what is lost by not being there on site to cover? And I think we have to kind of understand the way Malaysian media works. There's a lot of questions that are asked, you know, directly to MPs, especially, and it's not just a matter of reporting what was said, but also pushing back through your questions and getting clarification. That is important to be on site to be able to do that.
Yeah, and also, I mean, I think we have to recognize that, you know, over the last couple of decades, some media, some politicians rather, have tended to taint or frame media organizations as being partisan, and therefore, you know, seek to exclude them from public events like this, or situations like this.
Right.
And it's because of a sense that, you know, they're not friendly or they might be hostile and so on and so forth. And I wonder if that's at play as well.
Well, yes.
It doesn't seem sufficient to use COVID as a reason for this particular act.
Right. Well, I think what was happening, I think what we need right now is a little bit of clarity and transparency in how these decisions are come by. I mean, what goes into, what criteria goes into the selection of this list? And I think that goes the same as also all the other COVID-19 SOPs. What goes behind the thinking of those ever-changing COVID-19 SOPs? I mean, we heard the National Security Council has reviewed its earlier decision of only two diners per table. This for areas under the CMCO. Now they're changing it to a maximum of four, provided that the table is big enough. Now, how do you determine the table is big enough? Who measures that table? And if the police come and say, well, you're not practicing the proper social distancing SOPs, then can you contest that the table is, in fact, big enough?
Yeah. And of course, we have also the question of cars. You know, Melissa, at the end of this, the SOPs are there, we assume, designed for our safety. And therefore, you would get compliance and buy-in if they made sense to people.
Right.
And then that is, I think, the other issue. You know, coming out hot on the heels of the fact that we had the announcement of the CMCO before the SOPs were even ready. And that lag, again, reminding us that 6 months into this pandemic, we do not have a way of managing these particular strategies in a way that is much more coherent and efficient. Yeah. Forgivable 6 months ago, today the question is, why aren't SOPs being released at the same time as an announcement, so that everybody knows exactly what is happening?
And the thinking behind those SOPs and why they change 24 hours after. All right, let's take a quick break. But after this, we will be discussing the situation in Sabah as the number of COVID-19 cases there continue to soar. Stay tuned to consider this.